Sox Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Mobile Kintech studio, live at Boston Pizza on Grandview Highway, getting ready for Canada-USA Four Nations face-off finale. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. And this hour of Canuck Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. And here we are at the Grandview Highway location. Two massive projectors, one that is 300 inches. It's got to be the biggest in the city. I don't know. I've never seen a bigger projector than this.
Yeah, it's massive, and I can't wait for the game coming up a bit later on. It's happy hour.
Yes.
So we've been, you know, really enjoying the appies very extensively, and they're giving away Team Canada jerseys at intermissions as well.
In between periods, they're giving away Team Canada jerseys. I've sampled the spicy pierogi pizza finally after all these years, after Josh hyping it up all week.
Okay. So
wouldn't be my first choice, but you know what? I liked it. I'm not going to lie. It was good.
You say you liked it. Okay.
It was good.
You're not being a snob about it.
I'm not being a snob about it. It was good. It was tasty.
It was good. I mean, the nachos deliver as always. I'm a sucker for great wings, and the wings, fantastic.
Everything so far has been delicious. Don't know if you can still get a table for tonight's game. They are filling up fast. We expect it to be a packed house, but you might want to give it a call here at Boston Pizza on Grandview Highway and see if you can get one of the final seats in the building for tonight's game. It's going to be a big one, and I don't really think there's a better place to watch, maybe outside of Boston, than here at this Boston Pizza with the two massive projectors for tonight's game. Let's bring in our next guest, Frank Saravalli, our weekly insider. He is a presentation of Angry Otter Liquors. Frank, set the scene in Boston. How the vibes over there right now?
Electric. I woke up this morning, went over to the morning skate, and there was quite literally a line wrapped around the building to buy merch. There's people everywhere in U.S. and Canada jerseys, just an absolute explosion and display of patriotism on both sides. And it's unbelievable what this has built to. I mean, think back to a few weeks ago. No one was sure what to expect from this tournament, and to get to this point where – you know, obviously the NHL and NHLPA got wrapped up into this political vortex that's taken this game to another level, which, by the way, just taking that out, there's so much on the line for the U.S. in terms of trying to make a statement on the international hockey scene with their potential first best-on-best win since 1996. There's a lot on the line.
There is, and I think as far as where the game is trending internationally, the fact we're going to get this every 2 years, I don't think it's going to make it get watered down. If anything, I think it's going to heighten this real rivalry. We see it in other sports, especially soccer, with they play their conference, and then they have the World Cup every 4 years. So every 2 years, there's a big competition they're in, and you see how invested fans are. Can this be something that is going to remain red hot here for decades, potentially, every 2 years?
One could only hope. I mean, the fact that we went 11 years between this is a true indictment on everyone involved. It almost feels criminal now. And obviously that's added in some extra intensity to this, because this is the first time that we've seen Connor McDavid in a Team Canada jersey in best on best. And Austin Matthews has had this opportunity on the U.S. side, and et cetera. A whole generation of players has been waiting for this moment for a long, long time. And I do think that there's a limit to it. It's not like the Winter Classic where, you know, playing it every year, it starts to get dull. But you definitely have to be conservative in terms of the approach and how often you're doing it. And I think that's the right landscape. You've got Olympics and then a totally different competition every other year, every 2 years with the World Cup, that I think is going to suit the game really well.
So I'm not going to lie. A couple days ago when Mike Sullivan said Quinn Hughes is going to join us, I was pretty hyped up. Like, okay, we're going to get the two best defensemen in hockey on either side of the rink come Thursday in the finale. Obviously, that's not happened. What's your read of everything that's transpired since then for the U.S. team, and why Quinn Hughes isn't there?
Yeah, so my read is really simple. It was a long shot after all the investigating that the U.S. had done that Quinn Hughes would be able to play based on the roster rules that were presented to them. And with that, I think this idea that Quinn Hughes hasn't been medically cleared to play, I'm not pouring cold water on it. I think it's just a nice way for everyone to get through this without any awkwardness of, hey, Quinn doesn't want to support his country. That's obviously not the case. It was incredibly difficult for him to bow out. But I do think we're going to see Quinn Hughes play this weekend. I think that's the plan. And, you know, look, it was a big ask. He had been on the East Coast, and had the request come in earlier, might have been a different conversation. But once he was back in Vancouver, once he was back skating again, and given where we were with the roster rules, I was told from, you know, very good sources that he wasn't making the cross continent trek again unless he had a real opportunity to play. And we see now with Brett Pesce and Tage Thompson brought in, two guys within a 45-minute flight, totally different conversation. And those guys didn't get to participate in the morning skate today. They're here basically eating popcorn and watching the game from high atop Boston or TD Garden. So it is a big thing to ask, and I can totally understand from his perspective and everyone else's why you'd want to handle this, and the messaging would want to be certainly professional.
Right, and I think what we've seen already from some sections of the fan base is some concern that the Canucks told Quinn he can't go, he's going to be upset about this. Like, that may not be quite the case here, right?
I don't think so.
That he's upset about not being allowed to go? Yeah.
No. Look, this is the franchise of the Vancouver Canucks we're talking about here. And beyond that, think about the payoff for the Canucks had he been able to go cross continent and play and be a hero for his country.
Yeah, it would be massive. And you know, I know Quinn wanted to go, but everything that's happened just made it not to be. But focus on the game. I know we only got you for a couple more minutes here. Frank dropped out.
Yeah,
okay.
We just lost Frank.
All right,
we lost Frank. He'll be back. But we lost him, at least momentarily.
He finished his thought abruptly.
I'm just going to stop it here.
There's been a lot going on.
There's been a lot going on. But it's good. That's what happens on live broadcast sometimes.
Hey,
we're good.
We've had good eats. We're going to have a great place to watch the game
honestly,
tonight, so I'm happy no matter what.
Same. The fact that I was fed some really good food first makes it a lot better.
We have Frank Saravalli back. Sorry, Frank, you just dropped there for a moment. I do want to focus on the game while we still have you. And, you know, the idea that this is the biggest game on American soil, obviously since 0-2 Salt Lake, but, you know, legacy-wise, like, just how big could this be? And it, you know, even for us here in Canada, I feel like the legacy of this game probably means more for the U.S. team and hockey south of the border than it might for us here in Canada.
I think that's 100% accurate, but I do want to push back on one thing. And I did see some really funny tweets coming my way today. I said earlier today that, and I wrote this in a longer form, if you want to digest it and think about it, but I said that tonight's game is the most significant hockey game played on American soil since 1980. And yes, I understand gold medal game 2002 Salt Lake City. And people were tweeting at me like, yeah, I'd want to forget about that one as well. But my point here is the U.S., even if they had won that game, wasn't ready and wasn't close to being in a position where they could actually attempt to take the mantle from Canada as the top hockey nation or in that conversation. The talent disparity at that time was significant. And that gap has closed in a real meaningful way over the last 23 years since then. That said, this American program has been building to this for a while. They're the youngest team in the tournament. And they have the firepower and the depth. And when you look at what Brad Marchand said yesterday, this is the best team that he's ever played against. They're right there. I think even the proudest Canadian would say that tonight's game is a true coin flip, and it probably will remain like that for a long time. That said, the U.S. has to win. And so the other end of it is yes, this could be a watershed moment for hockey in the U.S. They're very likely to have one of their largest TV audiences ever in this country to watch hockey. If you can get people in the boat and you can hook them, can you find a way to keep them as fans? Can you make more players, turn them into hockey players as kids that are watching? There's an unbelievable opportunity to convert, but so much of it will depend on, again, the era of feelings that exist on the back end of this game. Will the U.S. win, and can they capitalize on the platform and stage that they have? Because if not, it feels a little bit like same old, team that gets close and falls short.
It's interesting that the way you see it and frame it from an American viewpoint is the overarching, are the Americans ready to take over as being the hockey power of the world, so to speak? And I do think when we had conversations about this tournament a few months ago, there was that discussion about, is Canada still above the U.S.? But it's so much more politically charged on this side of the border because of all the Trump stuff and the tariffs, and not to mention the annexation stuff, whether it's, you know, a joke or not. But all these things have created more of a political atmosphere in Canada. Whereas for Americans, is it similar in that sense? Or is it very much more about, we're ready to take over being the top hockey nation?
It's way more about the hockey for me, and based on the conversations that I've had, and I had USA Hockey Executive Director Pat Kelleher on my podcast earlier this week talking about the situation and where we're at. I think the politics of it all is really unfortunate. It's added eyeballs, and it's added tension and intensity, but I think what's happened here is really sad for Canadians and Canadian fans in general. I think it's BS that this has played out the way that it has. And I can only tell you this. I understand where Canadians are coming from. If the president of another country, whether it's a joke or not, was actively on social media questioning my country's sovereignty, I'd be doing way more than booing. And so I understand it, I get it, and I feel for so many of my Canadian friends that are internalizing this in a different way. But for me, I look at it and I say, hopefully a lot of this will die down. Hopefully we get to a spot 4 years from now where we're moving on and into a different direction. And in the meantime, what will this one moment in time, as painful as it might have been, what will it mean for the sport at large? And I think with that increased attention and eyeballs comes increased opportunity. And it's unfortunate just the way that it was given.
And hopefully we get a banger of a game tonight. Frank, thanks so much for this. We'll talk soon.
Take care, guys.
There is Frank Saravalli joining us here on Canucks Central, a presentation of Angry Otter Liquor. And you know, that's obviously been a big part of the conversation today. It's especially with Trump's tweet today and everything that happened around it. It's become a major part of the story for Canadians, and it's because Trump has made it that way.
Yeah, this isn't even about like talking politics. It's become part of the story because he's been inserted into the conversation, right? He's been talking to the American team. The American players have responded to what it felt like having Trump call in. You know, we had the GM Bill Guerin speak about Trump too. So it's become intertwined. You know, it is what it is in that sense. But it's interesting listening to an American perspective because, and this is like how Americans in general are. Like, they're very much oblivious, I think, in general to like what's going on elsewhere. And it's like, hey, we just live in our world. Whereas for a lot of Canadians, like, this hits very close to home. It's a very sore point for many. And I understand the frustration, and I understand, you know, why people feel the way they do about all of it. So it's so much more politically charged this side of the border, whereas it's not quite the same in the States. You know, I think that's really interesting. And you heard what Frank had to say about it.
JT Miller expressed his gratitude today for the call that President Donald Trump gave to the American team. There's been a lot of that as the conversation in the lead up to this because of the consistent pokes of President Trump south of the border towards us. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. We are at Boston Pizza in the Mobile Kintec studio. Place is starting to fill up, and we're still 90 minutes away from puck drop here at BP. We're excited. We're getting full. We're getting some good eats, some good drinks through the course of the night, and an incredible hockey game to watch here as well. Hope you'll join us at Boston Pizza. It's Canuck Central on Sportsnet 650. We're back on Canuck Central here in the Mobile Kintech studio. Should we be Canada Central today? I feel like...
Well, I mean, it's Canucks. Again, it fits.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, it's honestly, I was thinking about this the other day, too. As much as I think the original six teams have such classic names and logos and jerseys, right? Like, even the Leafs, as much as people hate it, it's like it's the Maple Leaf, right?
The honestly, the Red Wings jersey, I used to hate it when I was young because it's so plain, but like now I love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic, right? And the Canadiens, just the Habs, the Canadiens, right? And I think the Canucks, as far as a name, is like perfect. It's like one of the top names.
100%.
Easily.
It's perfect.
It's perfect. It represents Canada perfectly.
Yes. So we remain Canucks Central here today ahead of the big game. Again, we're in the Mobile Kintech studio at Boston Pizza, and this hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. And, of course... yes, the name, Boston Pizza, of course. We get it. Jokes aside, it is a 100% Canadian company. And even though the name is American, led by a former Mountie serving Italian food, locally owned, operated, and 100% Canadian, Boston Pizza. So check out your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza for the big game or anytime you're looking for another night out. Tonight, there's going to be Canada jerseys given out. They have two massive projector screens. If there is a better place in the Lower Mainland to watch, I'm not sure where. So come join us here at Boston Pizza.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Let's get to the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it, and... the latest is a lot of discourse around what's happened with Quinn Hughes in the lead-up to this final here, Sat. As, you know, Tuesday comes and Mike Sullivan says Quinn Hughes is going to join up with our team and rejoin USA. He shows up to practice a little bit later on in the day wearing a non-contact jersey and has participated in two Canucks practices since then. And never made the trip out to Boston to join up with Team USA. So for as much as people have talked about this and wondered, you know, is Quinn upset? Is this going to put a rift between him and the Vancouver Canucks as we get closer to them having to negotiate a contract next year? By what Frank Saravalli just told us, it doesn't sound like... there's a lot of that going on. It's more he wasn't going to be able to play, so what reason was there really for Quinn Hughes to travel out to Boston?
Yeah, and the way, you know, Frank kind of framed it, it was very much a Quinn Hughes decision as well. And we saw Pat Brisson's statement yesterday, too, when we reacted to all this, who mentioned, you know, it was a tough decision, but, you know, it was the right decision to make to not go. And was Quinn really interested in flying all the way there and back and not playing? As much as it would have been a nice boost for the Americans. And the best way to shield the player from any criticism or any, you know, backlash for not going is the team saying, hey, he's not going.
Yeah.
Now, maybe the Canucks were actually upset that Mike Sullivan announced that Quinn is coming and they didn't check with the team first.
Yeah.
And I do understand that. It's like, hey, at least talk to us first before making these, you know, assertions and statements about our players. And number two, it probably is mutual to some extent, at least the way, you know, Frank framed it. And Frank said very clearly, like, he's the franchise. He's the future of the franchise.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to do something to upset him. So it's very much something he's on board with.
Well, and if you listen back to Quinn Hughes' comments on Tuesday, you know, he sounded like he had a little bit of FOMO, you know? Like, he didn't love that he had to miss out of the tournament, but Obviously, the injury kept him from being able to participate in the tournament from the start, and that's why he had to pull out. And the comment that I still think about today, 2 days later, they have their 60. And so as long as they had their six defensemen available to play, even beyond the Charlie McAvoy injury, it seemed like the NHL was steadfast in not loosening those rules to allow Quinn Hughes to play. Now, I don't agree with that. I feel like they should have opened it up a little bit more and not have been so strict with the injury rules, and you would have avoided all of this in the first place. But c'est la vie, it is what it is. They stuck to it, and there's just no reason for Quinn Hughes to go. And as much as it would be nice to get a full paid trip to Boston to watch the game in that arena and celebrate with your brother and a lot of teammates that you grew up playing with, sure, but let's be mature about this. You got a game on Saturday against the Vegas Golden Knights, and you're the captain of the Vancouver Canucks.
Now, how much of for Quinn, how much of all these injury things and the team not having cleared him medically? And how much of that is semantics or not, right? And how much of that is truly accurate or not?
Well, as Frank said and alluded to, like, maybe part of that was also a bit of shielding Quinn Hughes from,
yes,
hey, I'd rather not have to go and exactly join this team to not play.
So how much of that is actually,
yeah,
we're just shielding Quinn? And how much of it is actually him being still hurt to some degree? Because Adam Foote, when meeting with the media today, did mention that he's going to face contact again tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it'll be second day, and we'll see where he's at. So he still very much made it seem like, hey, we got to see how he feels through the next couple of days here. So is his status for Saturday's game against Vegas a sure thing? Or is it still very much a game time decision, or based on how he feels after tomorrow's skate before they fly out to Vegas?
It feels like it's not yet guaranteed, but I would put it at more probable than questionable right now.
I think that's fair, and especially based on everything we've heard. But let's say he's not 100% yet, and you're trying to be careful. Do you want to start him off playing back-to-backs and playing four games in six nights?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to play him quite a bit. You do have a little bit more cover, right? So he maybe doesn't have to play 27, 28 minutes right out of the gate right away. But, he's... You have five games and eight nights coming right out of this. I mean, he's Quinn Hughes. His lungs have never really been an issue as far as he plays, but you're going to throw him right into a pretty physical team, the Vegas Golden Knights on Saturday, and a Utah team that I'm sure is going to want to make a final push towards the playoffs on Sunday. So,
no, and they got the Canucks in their sights.
It's not going to be an easy runway, but at the end of the day, he is Quinn Hughes, so
yeah.
I'm not overly worried about it. And, it's tough because, look, we've embraced this tournament incredibly well. Fans have embraced it, but the reason fans have embraced it is because of how much the players have embraced it themselves. And sure, you can applaud Gary Bettman and the league for putting it all together and making it happen under less than ideal circumstances, with not being able to have Russia in it and only having four teams. So it's not a full World Cup, and it does feel like more of a exhibition tourney than anything else when you first put it together. But the way that they've played, aided by the political climate, has made this tournament feel like a lot more than just something to fill the space during All-Star Week.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think all those things are true, but I also think that as hockey fans, we all want to see best on best.
Yes.
Always. Like you always want to see the best players go head-to-head in any type of situation. We haven't seen it in almost a decade.
Yeah, but it still comes down to the players.
For sure, and I think they've embraced it too.
If the players played it like it was an All-Star game, we wouldn't... We wouldn't have embraced it the way that we have.
But I like this. I like the fact that when these players are putting on their country's flags, that they're playing with pride. And I think that's the way you should play. I'm not big on doing the rah-rah stuff all the time or whatever. But I do think when you're putting on, you representing Canada in anything official, whether it's something in a sporting event or something socially, whatever it is, if you're representing the country, do it with pride.
Yeah.
there are people that, you know, not to be dramatic, have died for the flag, right?
Yes.
Like, represent the country with pride. And the fact that these players have, and they do, I think is commendable. And I think it reminds us that sometimes we care about things that are greater than us. And it's nice to see athletes do that as well on this stage. And you're right, it is extra charge because of the political climate. And as we discussed with Frank, too, it's more of a one-way street.
Yeah.
You know, it's us as Canadians being pretty pissed off about some of the things that are being said about us, right? Like, that's what it's about. Whereas a lot of the Americans are oblivious to all that. And they're just like, hey, we want to be the best hockey country in the world now.
Yeah.
And that's what they're thinking about. They're motivated by that. We have other motivations.
And, you know, the reason I bring this up is because, you know, Quinn wanted to play in this tournament. I'm sure he's watching it and seeing how it's all played out and would have loved to have played in it. Would have loved to test himself against the other best players on the planet. It's just the circumstances were obviously not there for him given the injury, but it probably, like, seeing the way that the tournament has played out, probably made it harder for him after he made the initial decision to not play, given the way the games have been so emotionally charged, so physical, and very much a pretty good representation of what we remember best on best to be. And that, to me, simply comes down to the players and how much you can tell that they've wanted this for so long, and more so than praising both players and executives of the National Hockey League. I also cringe at the idea of, like, why did it take so long for us to get here? But better late than never, I guess. And that's the product that we're getting tonight, is best on best. Even without Quinn Hughes, it's still going to be a miraculous game. And I do wonder what the legacy of this tournament is beyond tonight.
Well, I think the legacy is always going to be remembered if we win, I think it'll be remembered fondly. If we lose, I think it'll be a bit of a sore spot. And I don't think it's just because of having lost. It's because of the overall climate. Because the last thing a lot of Canadians want to see is us lose to the Americans with all this 51st state stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that'll leave us more of a sour taste. So I don't think you will remember it as fondly, but I think you're always going to remember it, especially if you're riled up in this.
Yeah.
You know, there are people that are, like, not emotional about it. Like, they're like, you know, whatever. Like, I don't pay attention to this stuff. But if you're riled up about it one way or another, like, you're always going to remember it. And I hope that it's with us winning.
Yeah.
Like, I really do. You know, like, I don't want to show up tomorrow and talk about how, you know, the Americans won the game.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't.
Well, it's happened in the previous two times that they've faced off in a final in 0-2. And, of course, in 2010, as we talked about with Ryan Miller and Chris Pronger earlier this week on the show, which you can find available on podcast, you know, the U.S. won the games in the round robin, and then weren't able to beat Canada in the game that ultimately mattered the most. Mm-hmm. And does that happen here again tonight? I feel like the conditions are favoring Canada to win this game. You have Cale Makar back. You're not as injured as the U.S. team is. Guys are playing, but obviously the Tkachuks suffered something.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have Charlie McAvoy, who is just an absolute wrecking ball last Saturday in the first meeting between these two teams. Auston Matthews clearly less than 100%. So I do feel like the conditions are favoring Canada going into the game, but I do have a Canadian bias in all this.
Oh, yeah, and also how confident are you in goaltending, and should it matter? Like, we spoke to Ryan Miller and Woodley yesterday, and both said, you know, Binnington it has been solid in the tournament, and he's more than capable of winning the game. I know that I'm not always confident watching Jordan Binnington play, especially through this tournament. So I think that's the one thing I worry about is, does a bad goal or two go in early, and does that just change the entire complexion of the game? You know, especially something this high stakes, and, you know, how do you kind of battle through that? That's the one concern I have. But you're right, as far as on paper still, based on the things you mentioned, and overall form, and especially motivation, and I'm not even talking about, you know, anything exterior, you lost to the Americans already.
Yeah.
And the players, you know, that's going to be plenty of motivation for them to come back and get the victory. My only concern really comes down to goaltending. Do you get goalie by Hellebuyck? And can Binnington, if it is a low-scoring game, if you can't beat Hellebuyck,
yeah,
can Binnington give you enough to win a low-scoring game? That's my big question.
Well,
right?
And that was my thing about the Larkin goal. It's like, it's not that it wasn't a tough save to make. It's more like Hellebuck's making all the saves at the other end. You need your guy to make those saves too. Mm-hmm. That part of it was tough initially, but of course, you get another chance at it tonight. Connor McDavid said something interesting today, and paraphrasing, but he essentially said every other year is good for these kinds of tournaments.
Yes.
And we don't need to do it annually. Not that you don't want it to lose its allure, but guys are going hard. Guys are getting injured. Guys are really going after it, and it can be a lot for these guys that are already playing 82 games, a lot of them going deep into the Stanley Cup final, all those kinds of factors that play into it. And honestly, like I couldn't have agreed with McDavid more. Like the last thing we want is an oversaturation of international hockey now that we've had such a long break of best on best. But I do also want to make sure that, you know, when they do go up against each other, there is an intensity that remains in these games that you don't see during the regular season of hockey.
No, you don't. And I think that the World Championship is just its own entity. And it's kind of a niche event, but like it does really well anytime in the European countries, even when it's in North America, it does well.
Double IIHF tournaments just aren't as physical as what this is and what the World Cup will likely be.
And you're not getting the best collection of players because the playoffs are going on in the NHL at the same time, right? But that's going to be an annual event that goes on, so it doesn't really count into it. But you need to have some separation. And I do think it's kind of like in soccer, like, you have the Euro every 2 years. It's a Euro or it's the World Cup, right?
Yes.
And other countries, like whether it's the Asian Cup, whether it's, you know, the Gold Cup, or whether it's Copa America, whatever it is. And these are huge events that people care about passionately. The players care about passionately.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to take time, but do you get to a point where the World Cup becomes kind of like that regional event that's massive that people care about, but then the real cherry on top would be the World Cup, of course, right? I think that's what you're trying to emulate here.
Yeah.
And I think there's a chance for that to happen. If you have it every year, I think it takes away some of the luster to it. But I do think every second year, especially if this is the caliber of hockey we're going to see, it's going to be perfect.
The legacy of this tournament, I hope, is that they never go away from the World Cup ever again.
Hmm.
That the World Cup is a part of the NHL calendar, and you cannot get away from it. When it comes to collective bargaining agreements, there is no gray area. The World Cup is a part of what we do as the National Hockey League. That's what I hope the legacy of this tournament is, because, you know, even for the NHL, like, you know, if it steals a little bit of the allure away over time from the Olympics, like, that's a good thing for the NHL, because the IOC gives the NHL zero rights. They make zero revenue. It's really just a, you know, pie in the sky, like, this is good for the game, so we need to be there reason that the NHL is sending its players back to the Olympics.
Well, and think of it from a financial aspect. I'm sure the Four Nations is going to be an absolute financial success and a windfall for them, right? Imagine a World Cup.
Oh, it would be massive. Played, you know, some here in North America and some in Europe. You know, that's what the plan is for 2028. You know, you maybe start the North American teams here, and you have some of the European teams playing over in Europe, and then they join up at a certain time, or maybe it's all in Europe. I don't know. But, you know, like, that's ultimately...
Because the TV ratings have been massive as well, so you're going to be making money off these.
You had over $4 million for the Canada-US game on Saturday.
In the U.S.
They had another in the U.S. Here in Canada was even more expected, but for the U.S., $4 million is a huge number for American hockey viewership. They even had a big viewership for Monday's game against Finland. So obviously people are on board. You're going to get an even bigger number for this one tonight. And that's what I mean by legacy. You hope that the legacy of this tournament is that they never go away from international hockey ever again. Even if, you know, the circumstances to go to the Olympics are less than ideal, and they're never going to be ideal.
Yeah.
That you stick to the World Cup, because that's a staple of your calendar. That's what whether Canada or the U.S. wins tonight, that's what I hope the legacy is of this Four Nations tournament, because we're never seeing – I never want to see another Four Nations face-off. I want to see a World Cup every 4 years once 2028 rolls around. I don't need to see Four Nations go at each other. I want a full-scale World Cup every 4 years to be a part of the NHL calendar. That's what the legacy of the Four Nations face-off should be.
It's an appetizer that hit perfectly.
Yes.
You know, that's exactly what it is, just like we had here at Boston Pizza.
The happy hours – and the plenty of appies. That was an incredible, incredible fit right there by my co-host Satyar Shah. We have been enjoying happy hour. We will enjoy happy hour here at Boston Pizza until 5 o'clock tonight. Also, happy hour is on from 9 p.m. to close at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. That's where you get the best deals on some of their menu items and drinks as well. We had... you know, they brought us a sample of kind of everything, and it's been pretty good. The wings, the Thai bites, even just the chips and the nachos have been an absolute delight to go along with some of the pizza flight that we were able to sample as well. So very excited about tonight's game here at Boston Pizza, the Grandview Highway location, just past Renfrew as you make your way up towards Highway 1 coming from the city. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. Coming up, we're going to get more into the game, into your texts, and discuss more of a pregame setup for this one. Your confidence level in Jordan Binnington, how Seth Jarvis is going to be in for this game over Travis Konecny, our X factors for the game. Some of your texts, I see a ton of them coming in at 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. We'll get to all of that. Stan Riccio, Satyar Shah, live on location in the Mobile Kintech studio at Grandview Highways, Boston Pizza. JanPro, from the boardroom to the break room and everywhere in between, JanPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. You are listening to Canuck Central.